Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players and the screen's classic story of a white collar girl. David Hempstead's RKO production, Kitty Foyle, based on a novel by Christopher Morley. It stars Olivia de Havilland as Kitty Foyle, Henry Fonda as Wynn Strafford, and William Lundigan as Dr. Mark. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Kitty Foyle. It's an amusing ornament, a little crystal ball that contains a small figure. And if you shake the glass ball, spin and whirl, and then slowly settle like falling snow. An attractive young girl is holding the little glass toy in her hand. She stares at it somberly for a moment, shakes it, watches the gentle falling snow, and then suddenly turns and lifts the phone.
This is Miss Foyle. Will you make up my bill, please? I'm leaving tonight. You can send for my bags about 11:30. Yes. I've got to be somewhere at 12.
And now, as she puts down the telephone, she finds the glass ball is still in her hand. Again, she shakes it abstractedly, and as the snowflakes swirl about the tiny figure inside...
Little girl on a sleigh ride. That's me, I guess.
Only you're not a little girl anymore, Kitty. You're a grown-up woman now.
I'm only 24.
You're 26. Don't try to kid me.
Well, anyway, I'm not old.
Old enough to make up your mind. And, Kitty, you've got to make it up tonight. Now. Once and for all.
I wish I could.
Oh, I admit it's a tough decision. You really love them both. But let's go over the whole thing again. Tonight, Mark asked you to marry him, didn't he?
Yes.
Kitty, we can run up to Greenwich and find a justice of the peace tonight. As soon as I'm through at the hospital, you can get a cab and pick me up there. St. Timothy's Hospital, 12 o'clock sharp.
And what did you tell him, Kitty?
I told him yes.
And you meant it, Kitty, because you're pretty honest. You really meant it until...
Until Wynn came up from Philadelphia.
Because I love you, Kitty, and you love me. It's not too late. It'll never be too late for us. Darling, I'm chucking everything. I'm sailing tonight for South America, and you're coming along. You will come with me, won't you, Kitty? Pier 48, 12 o'clock sharp.
And what did you tell him, Kitty?
I told him, yes. I couldn't tell him anything else. I love him.
Yes, you've always loved him, haven't you? Right from the beginning. Remember, Kitty? Philadelphia.
My first job.
The little girl from across the tracks. The little girl with a Cinderella complex working on a swanky new magazine. Secretary to the editor, Winward Strafford VI.
Well, at least Wynn was trying to do something. Maybe the money did come from his family, but... Well, they could afford it, couldn't they?
I'll say. Philadelphia mainliners. That's all they had. Money and blue blood. And so Wynn stepped out and got himself a magazine. And a rather attractive secretary.
He never even looked at me.
But you never gave up dreaming, did you? And then that afternoon... Kitty, remember the one I mean?
Yes. He bought a new dictaphone for the office, and I told him his voice sounded different on a record, just like Ronald Coleman's. And late that afternoon when I went into his office...
Oh. Oh, Miss Foyle.
Remember me? It's almost five, Mr. Strafford. I thought I'd look in and see if there was any more dictation to be transcribed.
No more today.
Oh, but you have a record in the machine.
Well, it's nothing really. I was just sitting with it, figuring how it worked.
Oh, I'll show you. It's simple.
No, please. It isn't necessary. Look, why don't you just run along home?
Oh, it'll only take a moment. You just turn it to playback and get it started.
Oh, Miss Foyle, really, I...
And then you press this button here.
Do you really think it's true, Miss Foyle, that... My voice sounds rather like that of Mr. Coleman.
Huh?
La Shangri-La, Miss Foyle. Foyle, Foyle, boil in oil. Roses are red, violets are blue. Miss Foyle has nice legs. I love you.
Is that all?
And I'll thank you, Miss Foyle, not to sit with your legs crossed during conferences. We have difficulties enough getting this magazine out without such demoralizing exhibitions to...
I think I will go home
and
draw.
No, wait, please, let me explain.
Win, boil in gin.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I never intended... I was simply testing, you know, one, two, three,
I'm
like
still
the radio.
Going home.
But you can't, not like this. I mean, Miss Foyle, I'd like to give you a little dictation. Will you sit down?
If you wish. I'm ready.
Let's see. Interoffice memo to Miss Kitty Foyle. I'm sorry I said you crossed your legs in conference, but you do. You've got them crossed now. I'm sorry I said they demoralize me, but they do. And I'm sorry you seem to think I'm making love to you, but I am. Wait, I haven't finished my dictation, Miss Foyle. P.S. Will you go to dinner with me? Please.
Those were happy days, weren't they, Kitty? That summer when everyone was talking politics, remember? The Democrats had a new white hope, a man named Roosevelt. They were sure they'd win at the polls in November. Only you weren't interested in politics, were you, Kitty? There were other things so much more important. Lunches and dinners with Wynn and long walks at night and Sunday drives into the country to Lake Pocono to watch the sun go down. And sometimes you'd be sitting there beside the lake and sometimes Wynn would be reading poetry.
The staggered Eve had drunk his fill where danced the moon on Monin's rill.
And brushed his teeth and combed his hair and took a whiff of the mountain air.
Young lady, you've destroyed a beautiful poem. You have no sense of the importance of beauty.
Tell me about the importance of beauty, teacher.
Glad to. As you know, it's man's duty to instruct women in all subjects. Now you pick the subject.
Tell me where we are.
We are in the Pocono Mountains, situated in the state of Pennsylvania.
But where are we really? In heaven?
No, in love.
Tell me about love.
Well, first there was a man, and just as soon as he'd had time to learn his way about, there was a woman.
Was the woman beautiful?
Very. She had dark red hair.
Like mine?
And her nose went like so.
Like mine?
And her eyes were blue-green as the sea itself.
Oh, not like mine at all.
Not half as deep or beautiful as yours.
And what did the man and the woman do?
Well, the man looked into the woman's eyes and suddenly beheld all the wonders of life. So he leaned over and rubbed her nose with his, like this.
And didn't the woman object?
No. She loved him, too.
Why?
Well?
I'll tell you. Because he was everything she'd ever dreamed of. Now tell me some more.
Let me see. Where was I?
Here. And don't ever leave, Wes. Ever. Ever.
Yes, that was the summer everyone said things were getting so bad. There was all that talk about a depression. But it didn't touch you, did it, Kitty? Not till that afternoon in Wynn's office.
That's it, Kitty. Short and sweet. The magazine's through. We're folding up.
Oh, Wynn.
We're folding, and your boss is all washed up.
Now, just a moment, young man. I don't like that washed-up stuff from you. You're a nice big boy with plenty of brains, and you've still got your health, haven't you?
But don't you see,
Oh, it's not your fault. You're not the only guy who's been washed up this year. What do you want to do, find some broker friends and jump out a window?
I suppose I'll go back to the family bank with Uncle Kenneth.
Wynn, you can't. They can't make a banker out of you. You're too sweet. Honestly, you're different, Wynn. You've got brains. You're going somewhere.
You really believe that, Kitty?
Of course I do. I'm in your corner, Wynn. Okay, you've lost the first round. There are 14 more coming up.
Well, of course I might say. What about you?
Me?
What will you do?
That's right. I'm out of a job. I'd forgotten about that. Well, maybe I could get one in New York. A friend of mine lives up there.
Oh, I can't let you do that.
Why not?
Because it... Well, it's just silly, that's all. Besides, we'd be too far apart.
Well, it isn't China.
Kitty, this is kind of delicate, but, well...
Go on.
Well, you're all alone, and, well, if you can't handle it, I mean, well, if it isn't your... It isn't your fault the magazine folded, so until you get another job, you won't have to worry about money.
What do you mean?
I'll just keep you on the payroll. It's only fair, you know, because you...
Forget it, Wynn. You don't have to worry about me. I'm free, white, and 21, or almost. I'll love you from here on out, or until I stop loving you. but nobody owes a thing to Kitty Foyle except Kitty Foyle.
Darling, I'm sorry. I just meant...
Don't say it, please. Goodbye, Wynn. I'll see you before I leave for New York.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
What's your favorite color in clothes? Blue? Red? Brown? Whatever it is, I'm sure it's your favorite color because it's flattering. You look better and feel better when you wear it. But did you ever stop to think that the color of your skin has a lot to do with your most flattering colors? And yet skin specialists say that many, many women never give their skin a chance to show its true fresh color. And here's why. There's a stubborn film on every woman's skin. Yes, even on your skin. This stubborn film is caused by natural oils mixed with cosmetics and dirt. You can't see or feel this stubborn film, and ordinary cleansing fails to remove it. That's the danger. You think your skin is clean when it isn't. But there is a safe, sure way to remove this stubborn film. Try it tonight. See the actual evidence that even you have this skin cleansing problem. Here's what you do. Smooth on my unique Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and wipe it off. Apply Lady Esther cream again and wipe it off. This second cleansing with Lady Esther gets rid of that stubborn, clogging film. Now your skin is really clean, and instantly you see the difference. The clearer, fresher, younger look. You feel the new softness and smoothness. The very texture of my Lady Esther cream is unique. So soft, so effective. That's one reason why my cream cleanses so thoroughly. If you want compliments tomorrow, remove that stubborn film tonight.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Kitty Foyle, starring Henry Fonda, Olivia de Havilland, and William Lundigan. We're back in Kitty's hotel room now. She's still standing there holding the little glass toy in her hand. For a moment, she stares at it moodily. Then she shakes it again, and as the little white flakes whirl and settle...
And so you went to New York, didn't you, Kitty? And you got yourself a job in a tiny apartment with another girl. And you didn't let Wynn know where you were living because you were trying to forget. That's when you first met Mark, wasn't it? And he was amusing and you were lonely. And besides, you rather liked him, didn't you? A doctor. An intern. He hadn't even started practice. Funny. He was as poor as Wynn was rich. But you liked him. And you were very good friends. Until that night. You were coming home on a subway.
Have some more popcorn, Kitty. Good for you. Better than a lot of junky sandwiches.
Yes, and cheaper, too. Just like subways are cheaper than cabs.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot to be seen in these subway trains, if you can read. You see the fellow over there?
Uh-huh.
Heart case. Knew it the minute I saw him.
How interesting.
And that woman near the door. Allergic. Plain as the nose in your face. You take that old guy over
Mark,
there.
Mark, let's play this as a date, not an autopsy.
Okay.
Don't you ever think of anything but your job?
Sometimes. You see that kid over there?
The little girl?
Mm-hmm. He's undernourished. Not enough milk, not enough sun. Thousands of kids like that in New York, and it's going to get worse.
Why?
This depression. You know, kids like that get under my skin. I guess I'm pretty much of a fool anyway.
Why?
Well, I had a nice offer today. Nice, plushy office. Nice, plushy practice I could inherit, and I turned it down.
Why?
I'm going to work in a children's clinic. $80 a month. You ever know a bigger dope?
I never knew a nicer one.
Look, Kitty, I've been meaning to ask you...
Hold it, Mark. Here's where we get off. Well, here we are. Cinderella returns from another mad, impetuous evening at the movies.
Yeah. Kitty, did you ever fall in love?
Yes. Once.
What kind of a guy?
Oh, I don't know what you'd call him, but I thought he was pretty wonderful.
Oh. You still love him, huh? Oh, why didn't you marry him then?
I guess he had too much money.
What? Are you running a fever? Nobody's got too much money.
He did.
You mean you want a poor guy?
I don't want anybody.
Oh. You know the trouble with those rich guys? They haven't any way of telling when they're falling in love. You take me, though. A guy like me knows.
That's very interesting. How do you know?
Well, when I find myself wanting to spend $10 on a girl, I know I'm falling in love. I know it's real.
Well, I guess you're still safe.
Well, that's just the point. How'd you like to go out next Saturday night? Dinner and dancing, you know, the works.
You mean you want to take me to dinner?
Sure, sure. We'll do it up brown. You wear a nice dress and I'll borrow a tux, okay?
Okay.
Oh, swell, swell. Now if I could only do one thing.
What?
Rip the next week right out of the calendar.
Hey, Kitty, isn't this the night of the big date?
Uh-huh.
Don't you think you'd better start dolling up?
I will, as soon as I finish this.
Oh, the Philadelphia paper again. You know, Kitty, it seems to me...
Molly, tonight's the night of the assembly.
Assembly?
It's a dance. The biggest social event of the year. All the mainliners... Wynn said he was going to take me sometime. I used to dream about it. He'll be there tonight in his shining armor.
And you'll be with the doc and a shining stethoscope. And for my dough, that's... Hey, who's that?
Just like Mark, I told him not to come too late.
Oh, the way I look, I better scram. I'll get your bath started, Kitty.
Just a minute. Look, what's the idea of...
Hello?
Wynn.
Hello, Kitty.
Oh, Wynn, darling. How did you find me?
I just followed my heartbeats. Come on, sweetheart, you'll have to hurry. We have a date, you know?
A date?
For the assembly. We're going to celebrate ours right here in New York.
Oh, Wynn, you remembered.
How could I ever forget? Wait a minute, I forgot to tell you.
Tell me what?
How much I love you.
How much do you love me?
If I said as much as you love me, would that be enough?
Enough? There wouldn't be any love left for anybody else in the world.
You had a wonderful time that night, Kitty. Dinner and champagne at the Ritz, dancing, laughing. And when the place closed at 3, Wynn hired the orchestra and dragged you all over to a little Italian restaurant because he said an assembly had to last till 6. And it was there, remember, while you were having the traditional assembly breakfast, eggs and sausage and champagne.
Kitty, what are you looking so worried about?
5 minutes to 6. In 5 minutes, my alarm will be going off.
Not anymore. Kitty, will you marry me? Will you?
No, dear.
Don't you love me?
Uh-huh.
Well, then why not?
Wynn, darling, we're happy now, aren't we? I mean, here this minute.
Of course.
You know why?
Because we love each other. Because we're together.
No, because we're not in Philadelphia.
Now, look, honey, this is no time for bum jokes.
I mean it, Wynn. In New York, we're happy. At Pocono, we're happy. In Seattle, in New Orleans, in Dallas, Texas, we'd be happy. But not in Philadelphia.
Wait, Kitty, listen.
In Philadelphia, you're Darby Mill and I'm Griscom Street. We're 2 addresses, 23 miles and 500 light years apart. I'm sorry, Wynn.
And is that all? Maestro?
Yes?
Can you play the Sidewalks of New York?
Yeah, but weakly.
You hear that, darling? That's our theme song now. We're New Yorkers, both of us.
Wynn, are you kidding?
No, Kitty, I mean it. I wish you weren't so right about Philadelphia, but you are. So that's the end of it. This is where we'll live, where we'll be happy.
Oh, darling. Listen. Church bells.
Wedding bells. For us.
No main line. No Philadelphia. Just you and me. And me and you. Oh, please, God, don't ring the alarm clock. For just a little while. A little while.
And so you were married, Kitty. Mr. and Mrs. Winward Strafford the 6th. And you had those two lovely, perfect days. And then you went back to Philadelphia to tell Wynn's family. His mother, who was very gentle and sweet, and his uncle Kenneth, the banker, who still said thee and thou. And you were surprised at how kind they were until Wynn's mother started getting to the point.
Of course, Wynn has told us how much he loves you, Kitty. Really, this would all have been quite simple if... Well, if Wynn hadn't been so impetuous.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
It's just this, Miss Hoyle.
Uncle Kenneth, please. You see, Kitty, I promised I wouldn't marry you for a year. Mother was going to take you under her wing and, well, prepare you.
Prepare me for what?
Oh, you know, some school, some good finishing school, and then...
School? Are you kidding me? It needn't be a school. Some other way, perhaps. Then, when you've met all our friends, learned how we do things, we can have a proper wedding.
And what do you call what we've just done, a rehearsal?
Now, Kitty, wait a minute.
How about our plans, Wynn?
Darling, if you'll just be patient,
Doesn't thee wish to go to school, Miss Foyle?
No, school is out, definitely. I'm a big girl now. And besides, we won't be having much to do with your friends. We won't be living in Philadelphia. Is that right, Wynn?
Of course it is, dear, but it seems to me
Miss Foyle, thou must realize such a thing is impossible.
Why?
Because the Stratford money is a trust fund established by the family will. When Wynn takes unto himself a wife, he must reside in Darby Mill and assume his duties as an officer in the bank.
And if he refuses?
Then his inheritance would pass into the family trust.
Well, all right. So Wynn isn't rich anymore. What's that to me? I didn't marry him for his money.
Miss Foyle, thou art not quite reasonable.
Says thou.
Miss Foyle, thy temper.
Mr. Kenneth, thy foot. And let's get this one thing straight. I married a man, not an institution or a trust fund or a bank. Not that I don't know what you're trying to do. You're trying to take the curse off Kitty Foyle. Buy her a phony education, polish off the rough edges, make a mainline doll out of her. Well, you ought to know better than that. It takes six generations to make people like you. And by Judas Priest, I haven't got the time. That's all.
Kitty, wait. Oh, darling, wait. Will you let me talk to you for just a minute?
You had your chance to talk in there. Oh, it's no use, Wynn. They've got you under contract.
Kitty, believe me, I'm going to keep my promise. We're going to New York, you and me, just as we planned.
That means you'll lose your inheritance.
Sure, but you don't care about the money, do you?
Not me. I've never had any. But, Wynn, you don't know anything about not having it.
I can learn.
Can you learn to live in a one-room apartment with a pull-down bed and eat in drugstores and go to movies once a week and try to save a dollar or two at a time? Can you learn that, Wynn?
If we're together.
But can you be happy living that way?
If we're together. Wait for me, Kitty. Wait here. I'm going in to tell them.
It's no use, Wynn. It wouldn't work. Goodbye, darling. Goodbye.
So you walked out of there and went back to New York. And you went through all the motions of living, but you really weren't living at all. And after a while, you got your divorce. A few months later, you read in the papers, Wynwood Stratford VI takes society bride. That was a tough time, wasn't it, Kitty? You'd never have gotten through it without Mark, big, rough, and kind, and always around when you needed him. 5 years. And every year, he'd ask the same thing.
Kitty, will you marry me?
And every year, you said no. Until tonight.
Hey, you did say yes, didn't you? I mean, you know what I asked you.
You asked me to marry you.
Oh, honey. Honey, you're not kidding yourself. It wouldn't be any good if you weren't sure.
Oh, Mark, darling. I'm sure.
Then it's a date?
It's a date.
Oh, swell, swell. Pick me up at St. Timothy's Hospital at 12.
And, Kitty, it would have been so easy if only Wynn hadn't shown up.
I tried their life, Kitty. It didn't work. I know what I want now. This time it's for keeps.
Wynn, it's too late. It's 5 years too late.
It's not too late, Kitty. It'll never be too late for us. Try to tell me it is. Just try.
Oh, Wynn, darling, don't make me say it. Don't make me say anything. Don't let me think.
Oh, Kitty, I've got to tell you. I haven't much to offer except me. I tried to get a divorce. She wouldn't give me one. I wish it were different.
Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll be together.
The boat sails at midnight. You won't be late.
If anything, I'll be there an hour early.
Kitty. It's getting late, Kitty. They'll both be waiting. Kitty, you've got to make up your mind.
Yes, I've got to make up my mind. Hello, desk. This is Miss Foyle. Will you have the boy come up for my bags? Yes, and please ask the doorman to get me a cab.
Sorry to be losing you, Miss Foyle. We don't get many pretty girls around here.
Thank you. Oh, and Joe.
Yes, ma'am?
I think a young man will be calling for me. Probably a little after midnight. Tell him...
Oh, just a minute. I'd better write this down.
He'll be very excited, I imagine. And very insistent.
Yeah, very excited.
Tell him I'll never forget him.
Never forget him.
Tell him I'll always love him in a very special way.
Always love him special way.
And tell him I'm being married tonight.
You're being married to... Hey, what is this?
Driver, St. Timothy's Hospital, please.
On behalf of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, thank you, William Lundigan, Henry Fonda, and Olivia de Havilland for your fine performances in tonight's play. And now, before we tell you about next week's program, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Have you ever heard people whispering about a friend of yours, guessing her age, hinting that she's older than she is? That hurts, doesn't it? Your heart goes out to her. But what if you should be put in that same position? You might be if you don't guard your skin against those tiny lines, that dry look which makes even young skin look years older. Don't let your skin give this false impression. Use the cream that's especially designed to lubricate and soften your skin while it cleanses. My unique Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. Faithful use of my wonderful Lady Esther cream will work wonders to keep your skin looking as young or even younger than you are. It will guard your skin against dryness, keep it softer, more supple, actually help prevent those tiny lines. Remember, my Lady Esther cream is not just a cleansing cream. It's far more. It does four of the things your skin needs most. Cleanses thoroughly, lubricates and softens your skin, helps nature refine your pores, and makes a perfect powder base. Lady Esther four-purpose face cream needs no help from any other cream.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. It will star Ann Baxter, Peggy Ann Garner, and Frank McHugh. Kitty Foyle was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence, adapted by Harry Cronman, and was presented through the courtesy of RKO, producers of the Technicolor production Sinbad the Sailor, starring Douglas Fairbanks Jr. and Maureen O'Hara. Olivia de Havilland can currently be seen in the Paramount production To Each His Own. Henry Fonda will soon be seen in John Ford's RKO release, The Fugitive. William Lundigan can soon be seen in the Hunt Stromberg production, Dishonored Lady. You save enough on the largest sized jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.